If you would take out your Bibles and open to Matthew chapter 8, Matthew 8, continuing in our study in the book of Matthew. And a couple weeks ago, if you remember, we cracked open the Sermon on the Mount, which is two chapters in the book of Matthew, three chapters, Matthew 5 through 7. And with the Sermon on the Mount, really, we just covered the introduction to it. We looked at the Beatitudes, and Sermon on the Mount introduces what theologians have often called the upside-down kingdom of God. And the revolutionary truths that Jesus teaches in the Sermon on the Mount and in the Beatitudes, as we talked about, blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed are those who are humbled, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, blessed are the peacemaker. All of those words aren't necessarily, in the eyes of the world, things that constitute greatness or success in the eyes of the world. But Jesus introduces these truths and introduces throughout the first several chapters in Matthew, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. Remember, John came declaring, and Jesus also came declaring and preaching, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And we've talked a lot about that, of how the kingdom of God is breaking into the world in a new way in the person of Jesus Christ. And so we got an introduction to Jesus' teaching. Last week, Pastor Wade from the Free Lutheran Bible College and Seminary taught on the kingdom parables. Go back, if you would, sometime this week, just by way of review, and read through Matthew 13, several different parables describing what the kingdom of God is like. And now, as we get into Matthew 8, we're going to start to see more vividly how the kingdom of heaven, how the kingdom that Jesus brought affects people. We're talking again about, in this season of Lent, the theme of closer to Christ, drawing closer to Christ, encounters with Jesus in the book of Matthew. And so that brings us to Matthew chapter 8. We get into some of the healings, the miracles that Jesus performed. So Matthew 8, 1 through 17, I'm going to start out by just reading this full text. It says, when Jesus came down from the mountain, great crowds followed him. And behold, a leper came to him and knelt before him, saying, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. And Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him, saying, I will be clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus said to him, see that you say nothing to anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest, and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a proof to them. And when he had entered Capernaum, a centurion came forward to him, appealing to him, Lord, my servant is lying paralyzed at home, suffering terribly. And he said to him, I will come and heal him. But the centurion replied, Lord, I am not worthy to have you come under my roof, but only say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I too am a man under authority, with soldiers under me. And I say to one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes. And to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard this, he marveled and said to those who followed him, truly I tell you, with no one in Israel have I found such faith. I tell you, many will come from east and west and recline at table with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven, while the sons of the kingdom will be thrown into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And to the centurion Jesus said, go, let it be done for you as you have believed. And the servant was healed at that very moment. And when Jesus entered Peter's house, he saw his mother-in-law lying sick with a fever. He touched her hand, and the fever left her, and she rose and began to serve him. That evening, they brought to him many who were oppressed by demons, and he cast out the spirits with a word and healed all who were sick. This was to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet. He took our illnesses and bore our diseases. Let's pray. God, once again, we thank you for your word. We thank you for revealing yourself to us through your word. And we pray today that you would show us Christ, reveal Christ to us as we look into his life, his work, his ministry. Show him to us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. There's a lot happening in this text, a lot going on in this beautiful account. And one of the things that I've been pondering in studying this, looking at Matthew 8 here and just getting into the miracles of Jesus, one thing that struck me is how Jesus goes from person to person, that he gets up close and personal with the one. And then as the section that we just read closes out, what do we see? At the beginning, we see he goes from person to person, one at a time. But then the end of this account, we read about the many who came to him and the many that were healed. Who were the individual people? There were three individual people that had this encounter with Jesus. Who was the first one? Who do we see? The leper. Right? And then who is the next one who was actually not the one who was in need of the physical healing, but who was it? Who did we see? The centurion, right? He was pleading with Jesus to heal his servant. And then who is the last one? Peter's mother-in-law. Yes. And so we see, again, you know, just how Jesus gets up close and personal in these personal encounters with Jesus. But then we read in verse 16 about who? We read about the many. It says, that evening they brought to him many who were oppressed by demons, and he cast out the spirits with a word and healed all who were sick. Now, something I want you to remember from this message today is Jesus, how he heals the one, but also how he heals the many, okay? And I know this is kind of silly, but maybe this will help you remember this, okay? So back in October, which is Pastor Appreciation Month, among a lot of things, got some really thoughtful gifts. And I think it was, it might have been, Sharon, the Ventura County Pregnancy Center, Janice from there, that she was delivering some gifts for pastors, like little gift bags. And in the bag was a pack of mints, icebreaker mints. I don't know if this is a message to pastors. You need some mints or whatever, but I appreciated them. And as I've been using them, it gives two options, actually. So if you just need one, there's a little slot right here. You can grab the one, and then down below, what do we, and it actually says this. It says one, and many right here. So if you need a bunch of them, you can open up this side and grab a whole bunch if you're really feeling that need. I know that's just silly, it's weird, but I hope that it has nothing to do with mints, okay? I'm not trying to tie in anything about mints, but to get in our heads the one and the many. These encounters with Christ, of how he gets up close and personal with each individual person, and then even thinking about the many that were brought to him, how Jesus infinitely valued every one of those people that were brought to him, his heart for the one and for the many, and so I pray that that's what we'll see today, especially as his heart for all people, how he deals with the one and the many, and what he does with the one and the many reveals who he is as the great healer. So he's not only the healer for the leper and the centurion's servant, he's not only the healer of Peter's mother-in-law and all these that were brought to him that were demon-possessed, but Who Jesus was then is the same Jesus that we worship and serve now. And he is your healer. He is my healer. And we're going to see this in two ways. Jesus, how he heals in two major ways. First of all, we see this physical aspect of healing. We're going to see how he heals physically from illnesses and diseases. And then if you skip on down toward the end, verse 17, one of the purposes of these healings, what was it? It was to fulfill the prophecy spoken about Jesus. Going back to Isaiah chapter 53, it says, to fulfill the prophecy, he took our illnesses and bore our diseases. One of the ways that Jesus reveals himself and reveals his power, his majesty as the Son of God. A few weeks ago, as we were talking about, saw the example, I think it was in chapter 4, of the many who came from the countryside who heard about Jesus and came to him and said that he healed all these sicknesses and diseases. And we talked about, you know, how amazing it would be to be alive during that time. Or how amazing it would be if Christ were physically present right here, right now. I mean, can you imagine how, you know, this, we don't have to advertise for our church at all, right? That Jesus is here today, and I mean, there'd be, the streets would be lined with people that would be coming to him for healing. And sometimes we can wonder, this is a struggle for us. You know, Jesus, If you're the same today as you were back then, why don't we see healing in this same way? Or we can think, you know, when we hear of someone's healing or an answer to prayer, even read about these healings, because we can think, you know, good for those people, the healing that they experienced, like praise God for that. But we can think then, but that's not my story. if only that were my story. And we're going to address that a little bit in this message. But we're going to be encouraged. And this is just kind of another funny thing to remind us that Jesus is the same, right? He is the same, what? Yesterday, today, and forever. I remember back in Sunday school, I don't know, fourth or fifth grade Sunday school, we had a memory verse, and that was the memory verse we had to memorize that week. And I was not prepared. Isaac was complaining last night that he didn't memorize the books of the Bible for this morning for our class. Well, I had forgotten to memorize this verse, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so I thought on the fly, you know, my classmates are sitting there, and I was like the fourth one around the table. And so our teacher was going around, okay, each person saying the verse from memory. And I couldn't quite hear it all. And so I was hearing it wrong. And so they were going around, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And it gets around to me, and I'm like, okay, I think I got this. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and on Friday. And my teacher just laughed. That is true. He is the same on Friday too, but forever, you know, it's not just 3 days out of the week. He's the same always. And this idea of Jesus Christ being the same, it should bring us great comfort that he was the healer then, he's the healer now. How that works out, how he does heal, can be very different, and his purpose for healing at different times and in different ways, we'll never fully understand it. But we can take great comfort in the fact that he still is the same healer. And so that's the first thing we see is this physical aspect, physical illnesses and diseases. But number two, and this is really where this comfort comes to us, is we're going to see how Jesus ultimately brings a greater healing. And what is that greater healing? It's from the greatest disease. It's from this terminal illness that each one of us has, the disease from which we need the greatest deliverance. What's that terminal illness? It's our sin. It's our humanity. It's our sinful nature, our flesh, our human depravity. There's a great family friends of ours. My mom's here today. You've known them your whole life, the Davidsons. Mark, I've talked about him before. He worked for my parents on the farm when he was in high school and college. He was this big basketball player guy, and he eventually went into strongman competitions and played professional basketball in France. He was also a Indiana high school basketball coach for many years, led his team to championships. In Indiana, that's like the biggest deal ever. You know, the Hoosiers, and just like basketball is everything in Indiana. And just a few years ago, he was diagnosed with cancer. He was a very influential man, testified to Christ, used these opportunities with his team and these championships to proclaim Christ. And when he was diagnosed with cancer, went through different treatments and found out that there's nothing more that can be done. And this big, strong man just started, his health was declining. He was just growing weaker and weaker. And he would go around and speak to chapel services at schools and different groups of people. And one of the things that he would say, yeah, I've been in these strongman competitions. I've relied a lot on my own strength throughout my life. But now the doctors tell me that I'm terminal. And he says, but you know what? We're all terminal. And then he would get into who we are in our sin and our human depravity, and how one day, yeah, we are all gonna meet God face to face. And that Jesus is our ultimate healer. And he went on to testify of how he was wasting away, you know, his body is growing weaker and weaker, but how what it says in God's word, what does it say? That even though our outer self is wasting away, our inner self is being renewed day by day. And that truth that says this light and this momentary affliction is just preparing us for this eternal weight of glory. And it's only possible because of Jesus as healer. Healer from this terminal disease of sin. And so this applies to all of us, whether we have experienced the physical healings that are shown here in this passage or not. Because these, we're going to look at truths about Jesus and what these healings reveal about him. This is true no matter what your story is. And so what are these truths? Number one, that Jesus' hands, so there's three things we're going to look at, is his hands, his word, and his heart. Okay, so number one, what do his hands reveal? His hands reveal his power to heal. What do we see in Jesus here? It's beautiful. We see his hands of healing, right? Now, did Jesus have to use his hands? He could have healed in any way possible. He could have thought something and healed somebody. He could speak his word, which he does, to bring about healing. Many ways that he could have healed. He could have just looked at somebody and they could have been healed. But there's something revealed here in Jesus. It reveals really his heart. Because who does he touch first? He touches the leper. He did the unthinkable. I mean, nobody would touch a leper. You know, lepers were, what were they required to do as they walked around? They were supposed to shout out unclean to keep people away from them, to warn them that they were coming. And yet Jesus does the unthinkable, and he touches the untouchable. Verse 3, it says, and Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him, saying, I am willing. Be clean. And then further down, his hands heal someone else. Who else did he heal with his hand? Peter's mother-in-law. It says specifically verse 15, he touched her hand and the fever left her and she rose and began to serve him. And this is significant too, because women in those days were marginalized. It would have been very uncommon, probably rarely if ever happened, that a rabbi would come to a woman's house who's sick and lay his hand on her and provide healing. This reveals the heart of Jesus. And there is, you know, thinking about healing, in every healing of Jesus, there's a physical story to be told, a life that's forever changed. And you think about all the different miracles and think about all the life change of these people. You think about the paralyzed man that was brought to Jesus, carried on a mat, and this, you know, the house is so full of people that they can't even get him inside. There's no room, and they're determined, so they take him up to the top, you know, the roof of the house, and break this hole in the ceiling and bring him down in front of Jesus. And Jesus speaks the word to him, you know, get up, take up your mat and walk. Or Lazarus, who was, you know, dead in the tomb for 4 days. They said, you know, by this time there's this stench, just this awful smell that would come out. But what did Jesus speak with his authority? He said, Lazarus, come forth. And you think about Lazarus's life, you know, being brought back to life and going on to live for, you know, who knows how many more years. The woman who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. And you know, for someone like that, she lived in her uncleanliness for all that time. Probably had given up hope, but then Jesus comes on the scene and she hears of his healing. And what does she do? Just barely through the crowds, just barely touches the fringe of his garment. And she's instantly healed. Healed and cleansed, and now can go about and live her life as normal. And these are all life-changing stories. And you know, how Jesus heals in different ways at different times, we will never know all of his purposes in healing. And you know what? We're never going to know all his purposes in not receiving that physical healing here on this earth. We're just never going to know. We can't understand the mind of God, can't understand the mind of Christ. But what's most important in these healings and what is revealed is that Jesus's power is revealed. The power of the God of the universe to heal and to restore, that this physical healing among the one, these individuals, and also the many, it reveals his power to heal. But more importantly, it reveals his power to heal spiritually, right? To take care of that terminal illness that we all have, to heal us from our sin, to take away our dirty thoughts, our corrupt thoughts, to heal us and forgive us from those harsh words that might slip out of our mouth, or those backbiting words that we allow so often to come out, to heal us from the ways that our hands have acted unfaithfully or led to impurities. And this is the greatest purpose in the healing hands of Jesus, is to show his power to heal us from our sins. There's a song, I often mention songs because songs speak so powerfully, don't they? One that I've heard recently, it's by David Crowder, the Crowder Band, probably one of the most popular ones of his recently. It's called The Hands of Jesus. It's beautiful to think of not just the physical working of his hands, but what that signifies, what the power that his hands show. The song says, his hands were more than skin and bone. Soon they'd be open, vulnerable, son of God, but somehow fully man. The hands of Jesus, so precious and strong, they can calm the seas, they can right your wrongs. The hands of Jesus holding everything, if they can take a nail, they can take your shame. So bring your hurt, bring all your broken pieces, and put them in the miracle-working hands of Jesus. He goes on to describe touching the untouchable, loving the unlovable, forgiving the unforgivable. This is what's revealed in the healing hands of Jesus, the power of Jesus' hands to heal. What else does his healing reveal? Number two, his words reveal his authority to heal. So his hands, now what? His word, his authority to heal. Jesus as healer not only uses his hands, but also uses his words, speaks authoritatively his word to heal. We especially see this with the centurion. And the centurion, he's commended by Jesus for his faith, demonstrates this incredible faith in Jesus. He recognizes Jesus to have the power and the authority that he does. He recognizes his own unworthiness. What does he say, or it says about him that his servant, he said, is lying paralyzed, suffering terribly. And then verse 8, he says, "Lord, I am not worthy to have you come under my roof, but only say the word, and my servant will be healed." This man was smart. Only had great faith, but he was smart. Smart enough to know that he, as a man who had servants, he could speak with his own authority, giving orders to his servants. What was a centurion? A centurion was a man who was in charge of about 100 Roman soldiers. Man of high and esteemed position, a man of great authority, and while he was a powerful man himself, he realized the power of Jesus, the authority of Jesus. I mean, he thought, if I have this much authority as a centurion, how much more the Son of God to speak with the authority of his word and just simply saying the word. And that's exactly what Jesus did. Verse 13, it says, "And to the centurion Jesus said," his word spoke, "Go, let it be done for you as you have believed." It says, "And the servant was healed at that very moment." But then skip down to verse 16. We see another way that Jesus healed with his words. What does it say? It says, "They brought many who were oppressed by demons, and he cast out the spirits with" what? "A word, and healed all who were sick." And again, what should we see in this? Yes, we see these life-changing stories of healing. We see the one and the many that are being healed, but even more so, we see the unchanging nature of Jesus, that he has the power and the authority to heal, and that above all else should bring us great comfort. And, you know, this is a struggle, again, because as I already acknowledged, this mystery and at many times confusion of why we sometimes experience healing, whether that be physical healing, mental healing, or emotional healing, and sometimes not. And it doesn't make sense, especially when we consider, you know, that Jesus does have the power and the authority to heal, right? We can think, Jesus, if you can just reach down with your hand, then reach down, right? If your word has power to heal, just speak the word. And we can say that in faith too, like the centurion did. You know, I believe, just like the centurion believed. Jesus, just say the word. But here's the thing, and I want you to hear this, and I'm going to read what I wrote down here, just because this is important, and I don't want to mess this up. Ultimately, our faith and trust ought not to be in the outcome, right? But in the one, in the person. In fact, just last week, last Saturday, Victor and I were at a memorial service, Gary, for Daniel Orr. And Sherilyn, his mom, Daniel was in part of our youth group at different times, and even going back to our baseball clinic, their family, and his mom, Sherilyn, shared during the memorial service. And one thing that stood out to me, she said, "Yes, we have our questions about the why, but we know the who. We know the who. Our confidence is in the who, in the one who has the power to heal and the authority to heal." And there's great faith we see in this centurion, because regardless of the outcome, he's trusting Jesus. He knows that Jesus is able. And sometimes, you know, we hear testimonies about a healing experience and we give God praise and glory for that. And it's wonderful. It's amazing. But other times, what is that testimony? It's a testimony of faith and trust, regardless of the outcome. I think of three heroes in the Old Testament. We think of them together. Three friends, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And we often think about, you know, what was the outcome? They were saved from the fire, right? But what happened leading up to that? You know, they were told to bow down to the golden statue of King Nebuchadnezzar, and anyone who didn't would be thrown into the fiery furnace, and they did not bow down, and so the judgment came to them. The fire was so hot, what happened? That the soldiers or whoever was throwing them in, they just fell down, were swallowed up. It was so hot. But listen to the faith of Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They said this before they knew the outcome of the story. Daniel 3, 17 through 18, they declared this confidently. They said, okay, if we're going to be thrown into the furnace for not bowing down, if this be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of your hand, O king. But what? But if not, be it known to you, O king, that we will not serve your gods or worship the golden image that you have set up. That's faith. But if not, still trusting. God is still God. Jesus is the same. That's faith in the one who has the power and the authority to heal. The Apostle Paul had this experience. Remember, he pleaded three times. He had this, what he called a thorn in the flesh. Cried out, pleaded three times that it would be removed. But what did Jesus say in his word, his authority? My grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. I appreciate what Pastor David Platt says about this. He says, in such situations, we too have to trust both the power and the wisdom of God. The one who is able to heal also knows when to heal. The Lord knows what will bring him the most glory and what will bring us the most good. And that's true. Yet isn't it a struggle still? Because what we think might bring God glory might be different than what he knows will bring him glory. And what we think might be our good, God knows best, right? And we know that Romans 8:28, for those who are called according to God's purpose, he will work all things together for what? For good. The good of those who love him and who have been called according to his purpose. And this faith and this trust is vital because of the last thing that we see. Number three, what is revealed here is the actions of Jesus reveal his heart to heal. And yes, from this today, I want us to see how the leper was healed and how the centurion's servant was healed and Peter's mother-in-law was healed. But more than that, I want us to see Jesus' heart as the healer. We see this and again, who he healed and how he healed. How he healed the leper who was unclean, whose face was and body was deformed. Those that had to live in isolation outside the city walls, walk around yelling, unclean, unclean, religious and social outcasts. And yet Jesus comes and touches him. The centurion, we see Jesus' heart for all people, right? Because this centurion would have, for the Jews, been considered an unclean Gentile outside of the Jewish faith, would have been seen as an ethnic outcast, as one opposed to the people of God. And yet Jesus loves this man and demonstrates, we just talked about this with the confirmation class, God shows his love for us, or he demonstrates his love. What does that even mean? Talked about this, that it's not just like, you know, we show someone a picture of something, we just show them. But how does God demonstrate his love for us? In Christ Jesus, right? He shows it. Shows it by giving us Christ. Jesus shows his love by going to the cross for us to bring that healing. Jesus demonstrates his love for all people groups of this world. He heals this man's servant. And in fact, Jesus explains that this man actually has saving faith. Verse 11, Jesus says, and implying that this man will be included in this. Jesus says, I tell you that many will come from east and west and recline at table with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. Why? Because they have believed in him, the Son of God, the Christ, the Savior of the world, because they've received him. They've humbly confessed their sins, received the gracious gift of salvation. But then, what do we see? The others, the so-called, what does he say, sons of the kingdom, thinking that because of their religion, because of their family line, that, oh, I'm in. I'll for sure receive the kingdom of heaven. But Jesus says, no, apart from faith and trust in me, humble trust and confession of your sins, what's their destiny? Verse 12, the sons of the kingdom will be thrown into outer darkness. In that place, there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And that's what we're all deserving of in our own terminal illness, our disease of sin. That's what we're deserving of. But what's the heart of the healer? Is that all would be saved. Isaiah 53, I'll close with this. And this is the prophecy that's being fulfilled here in Matthew chapter 8. And in this, in Isaiah 53, we're going to read three of these verses. We see the heart of the healer, the heart of Christ. Because what Isaiah 53, the suffering servant, who's the suffering servant? Jesus. Jesus is the suffering servant. We read about the healing that we all need. I'm going to invite you to stand as we read this, and we're going to read this together out loud. If you are trusting in Christ, make this a confession of faith today. In fact, I think I skipped over the confession of faith earlier. Do we even have it? I don't remember if it was actually in there. This is going to be our confession of faith today. Our faith in Christ, the healer. Let's read this together as the team comes up. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken, smitten by God and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace, and with his wounds we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. Let's pray. Jesus, we thank you that through your chastisement, we are given peace. And through your wounds, we receive healing. And when we've gone astray, turn to our own way, that you have taken upon yourself the iniquity, the disease of sin, you have taken upon yourself. We thank you and praise you for that and the freedom that we have in you and the healing. In Jesus' name, amen.